Bibles while you're standing there. Proverbs chapter 30. By the way, your King James Bible, if it's not, just leave it shut. Amen. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to read the first four verses together. And let's read verses 1 through 4 together. Let's read them responsively. I'll read verses 1 and 3. You join me on verses 2 and 4. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. The words of Augur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel in Ukal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into the heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And let's pray. Father, sure do need you tonight. Help me as I preach your word. Lord, this morning we talked about your love and how wonderful it is and how the fact that you love us. Tonight's topic will be a little tougher, but Lord, it's one that we all need. I pray that we would listen with a spiritual ear. May we put aside our petty things and our petty thoughts and our actions, and may we listen and let the Word of God change us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight, and I really want your attention tonight. I want to help us all. And sometimes I zero in on different things. Okay, how many of you men are here? If you're a man, holler amen tonight.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to kind of focus on you, but what I'm preaching at is coming at the women just as much. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon, and I had you practice amen and then oh me. Don't say oh me tonight because you'll reveal yourself, but all of us are guilty in some ways of what I'll preach tonight. We live in what I call a brutal society. TV, technology, internet, instant access to everything, all around the world, bringing it into color, into your pocket, into screens, into your home, into everything that we do. We live in a brutal world. If you look at 30 minutes of news, you see more brutality in 30 minutes on the news every day than they used to see 75 years ago in a whole life. We don't understand what brutality really is. The average Hollywood film is filled with nothing but brutality. The TV shows, the games of today, video games and different things. The most popular games in on your phones and everything else, think of the brutality that's involved. And I'm going to name some of them, even though I have never played any of these things. But even some, and don't get mad at me, I'm not saying they're bad, but something even as silly as Angry Birds and Candy Crush is all you're doing is killing. Some of the most popular video games involve you shooting people and killing people, even in war-type situations. The graphics on it are so real that in our United States military, they are actually training warriors with the same video games that you play at home. The internet pictures. You can get pictures of the most brutal, nasty stuff. You want to see murder scenes? They'll show them to you live. We have lost our ability to think and to see things clearly because of the brutality of our society. And everybody, look at me for a second here. If you have this, I'm not critical of this, all right? Because I probably would have been labeled as a child if it was a label back then myself. But we live in a world of ADD and ADHD, and everybody's hyper, and everybody's they can't hold their attention. Can I tell you why? Because everything's in full color on a screen, and if it's not in full color on a screen, you can't think your way out of a wet paper bag.
Right.
Yes, sir. I don't mean to be unkind. But if it's not HD, multi-pixeled, graphic, 3D, we can't, it's no good. I happen to know a man that's given our church $165,000, whose dad sat, he and his dad sat in a restaurant, sketched out a fire hose nozzle on a napkin sitting in a restaurant, and it's a multi-billion dollar corporation today. I've seen the actual sketch. Now, wait a minute. We've come a long way from that to AutoCAD. Now, listen to me very carefully. Every day in the news, in our games, our movies, our TV, we see violence, death, destruction, explosion, dismemberment, war, shootings, stabbings, rape, hurt, death, destruction, etc. Our lives are filled with brutality. Look at how people talk and treat one another today. There was a day when you drove down the road, you waved at everybody, and you used all your fingers. Now, if you wave at somebody, people are looking at you like, okay, what's he going to do? Is he going to shoot me? We live in a world of little to no manners. Yes. Whatever happened to please and thank you? Yeah, hold the door, hold the door for someone. Whatever happened to, there was a day, even when I was growing up, a man wouldn't cuss in front of a woman, and if he did, he apologized or somebody punched his lights out.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Now, the women cuss more than the men did 40 years ago. Look at how people scream and holler at one another. It used to be the only reason you raised your voice is because you're 20 acres away and you got to be heard. Now, we live in the same house with somebody and scream and holler at each other like we're living on the farm, hollering 20 acres apart from one another. Everybody doing okay? We used to respect one another in business. We didn't want to cheat anybody. Exactly. My dad's sitting back there. He'll tell you. I remember one day I got more change back than I was supposed to. I had to go back to the store and tell the store owner he gave me the wrong change and give him back his money. It was less than a dollar. Say why? Because you respected business people. Yes, it wasn't, he made a mistake. It's my benefit. Here I go. I remember finding $5 bill out in the parking lot one day. My dad made me go back to the customer service counter and give it back to the people. I thought that was cruel. Unjust punishment. But when my kids found them, we took them back in too.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Say why? Because I believe in respect.
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody doing all right? By the way, business isn't kill or be killed.
Right.
Doesn't have to be run that way.
Nope.
And I'm not lifting myself up, but I promise you one thing. You follow me around to the business people that I do business with, they'll tell you, this old preacher does business the right way. I might not be the greatest businessman in the world. I will agree with you on that, but I have good business ethics, and we live by them.
Yes,
I'm not afraid to say, hey, go to this place, tell them I sent you. There are people in this room, I've sent you places, and say, you just tell them Brother Bush sent you. It'll be all right. And I get the phone calls later. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Thank you for, yeah. You say, how'd that happen? Because I built a good name there. And we work together that way. Everybody doing all right? That's the way God used to work in America. God doesn't use the word brutish or brutal in a good way anywhere in the Bible. You've heard me say this a long time. These are God's words, not man's words. They were penned before the foundation of the world.
Exactly.
David didn't say this. Solomon didn't say this. God said it.
Amen. Yeah.
Paul didn't say it. God said it.
Yes, sir.
These are God's words, not man's words. God doesn't want us being brutish. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 2 says, surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. That word brutish means brutal. Brutality. God says he does not want us being brutish or brutal. Now, let me give you just a few thoughts, and I'll try to get you out right on time tonight. Number one, what does the word brutish or brutal mean? It literally means to kindle a fire, to consume, heat it up, to set on fire, to waste, uncaring about anything but self. It literally means, if you look it up, one of the synonyms is a wild animal. You take something like a Cape buffalo, one of those giant things in Africa. They're very brutal, brutish animals. You don't get in their way. Whatever they want, they go and they get it. And they'll stomp and kill anything in its way. They'll attack lions, and they don't eat meat, but they'll take on a lion and win. Say why? Because they're brutal. They're out of control. They do what they want to do. They'll stomp down anything. They'll run over anything. It doesn't matter. They're just a brute beast. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what the word brutish means. It means you don't care about anything else going on. It's only self-gratification. You gender fire. You heat things up. You waste things. Brutish people are rough people who have friction or abrasiveness around them constantly. Did you ever know somebody, wherever they went, they always had conflict around them? That's a brutal person. Now, none of us are going to go through life without conflict, just so you know. But when you always have it around you, there is a common denominator. Look in the mirror.
Yep. Preach on.
Isn't it amazing how everybody starts an argument with you? But you never get out of it. You keep going with it. They always oppose everybody. If you say it's black, they say it's white. If you, I got a new suit, and I got it on clearance. Some store was going out of business or something. It was like a $400 or $500 suit. My wife and I picked it up for $70. Now she tells me it's gray and blue. I told her last night, pick out a tie. Because to me, this suit looks green. I'm colorblind. It has green tones to it, to my eyeballs. I trust her over my eyeballs any day. Now, to me, yeah, she's right. Trust me, I trust her. But I see green in it. I know not to trust my eyes. I'm not going to sit there and argue with my wife over it. And I told her, I said, you're going to help me find out what shirts and what tie goes with this thing, because I know I don't see it like you do. When you told me it was green at the store, I said, I'm not seeing this like she sees this. I said, it didn't get any better when I got it home. The more light that's on it, the greener it gets to me. Now, wait a minute. Who's right? The way I see it, I'm right. But the way everybody else sees it, she's right.
Yes, sir.
Shut up. I'm sorry. Be quiet. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to oppose her. I'm not. I'm going to trust her and not argue with her every time she helps me with it just because I can't see it. I know how colorblind I am. Brother Hiles was colorblind. He and I, when I worked for Brother Hiles, he and I would joke about things. He and I saw things clearly. Because everybody else that didn't see it the way we saw it. And we would have some fun with that. A brutish person only sees the negative side of everything. They're the one, you can paint an entire house, and they walk through your house and say, okay, you missed that spot. That's the only thing they see.
Right.
They're very quick to point out the negative. They always have people stirred up around them. Now, brutish people... and if this isn't a good term, please forgive me, but they bull their way through everything. They just stomp their way through. Doesn't matter. They don't care who they step on, who they hurt. If they're going to go from point A to point B, they're going to get there, and they don't care how many people they hurt on the way. They're just going to get there. They're the person when you both meet at the stop sign together, they're the one that pushed the gas pedal real hard to get through so that they don't have to wait on the other guy. Everybody doing all right? Okay, we went from amen to oh me. Brutish people only want things their way or it's wrong.
Right.
Everybody else is dumb. Well, that's substandard. It's not the way I would do it. Well, that's unnecessary. This is the way you should do it. They're always quick to their opinion. Did you know your way's not the only way? That's what brutishness means. Okay? That is where the word brutality or brutish comes from. Now, let me help you with some things. Wow. Everybody doing okay? Everybody take a breath. All right, here we go. Breathe. Number two. Yeah, it's about to get hot, so hang in here. Number two, brutish people hate correction and authority. I want you to use your Bibles. That way you don't, I didn't say it, God said it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Just back a few pages. Proverbs chapter 12. God says a brutish person hates correction and hates authority. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse number 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is, what's the next word? Brutish. Wow. They don't like instruction. They don't like knowledge. And the word reproof there means correction. That means when somebody's taught you to do something and they correct you that you did it wrongly, the Bible says a brutish person doesn't like that and they get upset, they get angry. It says, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Ouch. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 2. Surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. Did you know that understanding is a byproduct of wisdom? Yes, sir. Understanding is a byproduct of obedience. Let me show you something. Malachi, stand up. Have a seat. Do you have any idea why at all I asked you to stand up or sit down? Good. But I'm going to teach you why. Because I want to show to everybody that wisdom doesn't question it, it just does it.
That's right.
Wisdom obeys, whether they understand it or not. Yeah. Eventually, the understanding comes. A brutish person sits there and says, I'll do it, but after church, I'm going to tell everybody why I didn't want to do it. Everybody doing okay? That's what a brutish person does. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, and I must hurry. I'm going to use several scriptures here. Look at verse number, look at verse number 8. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stalk is a doctrine of vanities. Look at verse number 14 as well. Same chapter. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. Look at verse number 21 in the same chapter. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. It's talking here about someone that will not learn good doctrine. They refuse right doctrine. They refuse the word of God. Let me bring it down to where we live. Brother Mike, they're the people that say, oh, I don't want to go see the preacher because I already know he's going to tell me and I don't want to do it. That's a brutish person. Why would I want to go to tell the preacher? Because the preacher's only going to make me do this. How do you know? Everybody doing all right? Brutish people are the ones that go around that. Brutish people don't want someone that they have to submit to because they want to be the final authority in life.
Yes, preach on.
Brutish people are the ones that hate police officers. I do not believe police officers are there to hurt you.
That's right, they're not.
They're there to protect you.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't mean every police officer is kin to the Pope either. Thank God. But it doesn't mean they're perfect.
Right.
But I can promise you one thing. I've met some that had pretty bad attitudes. But I still don't think they were trying to hurt me.
Nope.
Last speeding ticket I got was 28 and a half, almost 29 years ago. Okay? I was going to my wedding. I had one of the men in my wedding beside me. My brother was in the car behind me. My mom and dad were in the car behind him. And there was another car following my dad. So there was four cars in a row, and I was going through this little town in northwestern Ohio. And I was about 100 yards from the speed limit sign change, where it goes from 35 to 45. And I was yakking, so what did I do? I sped up to 45 before I got there, and there was a little local police officer sitting there before that sign. He pulled me over. So he was behind me. My brother pulled in behind the police car. My dad pulled in behind my brother, and the other car pulled in behind my mom and dad. And my brother gets out his video recorder and starts videoing the whole thing. I had to get out of my car, go back to the police cruiser. Guy's going to give me a ticket, no problem. He said, well, you got to be in court this time. I said, man, I said, I'm on my way to my wedding. I said, I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida. I said, you can change the date. Well, I could make you go post bond. I said, dude, let's do it. I said, but I'm not going to be late to my wedding. I happened to know some people in that town, and my dad worked with some people that were pretty high up. I said, just give me my ticket and let's go. He was pretty crude. Now, wait a minute. I was speeding. I deserved the ticket. Whether I was going to my wedding or not, it wasn't the issue. I deserved the ticket. I didn't deserve the attitude that went with it. Give me your address. I said, which one? The one I'll be living at after I get married, or my Ohio address? What do you mean? I said, I'm a dual resident. I said, I'm a full-time student in college. I said, which address do you want? That's when he wanted me to go post bond. Just give me the ticket. I still have the ticket, by the way. It's in our wedding album. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I don't know where that's at. It's in a box somewhere until we sell our house and move. But I got back, and then I had to go to court for it. And I stood before the judge. He said, how'd you plead? I said, guilty. He said, all right, you need to pay this, pay this, pay this. I said, but may I say something? He said, you may. I said, sir, I'm guilty. I said, I broke the law. I said, but I really didn't appreciate how the police officer handled me. And I told the judge the story. He was furious. Oh, he was mad. He said, are you sure you pled guilty? He said, I've already ruled it guilty. He said, how come you didn't plead no contest? I said, because I broke the law. I said, I'm good with paying my fine. I said, I just didn't appreciate how I was treated. I felt you needed to know. He said, if I'd known this, I'd have wiped it clean. I said, that wouldn't have been fair or just. I said, I deserve to pay the ticket. He leaned over. He said, bailiff, come here. The bailiff walked up. He said, you find officer so-and-so. He said, I don't care if it's his day off. I don't care where he's at in the county. He has 30 minutes to meet me in chambers or he's fired. I found out later he had done this to several other folks. And I happened to find out that shortly thereafter, he wasn't a police officer any longer. I wasn't happy about it. I just didn't like the attitude. I paid my ticket. It was right for me to pay the ticket. I wasn't against the police officer. I was just upset with the attitude with which I was treated. And I felt like I had a right to say something. If somebody didn't, how is it going to get fixed?
Yes, sir.
Brutish people think everybody's in authority is against them. Isn't it amazing how some people think every boss in the world is a bad person?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I just hate my boss. Then go find an honest job.
Yeah, yes, sir.
You didn't think he was that bad when you took the job.
Amen.
Why is it that when you get in trouble because you didn't do something right, it's all the boss's fault?
Yes, sir.
It's his business, not yours.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Some people can't work for anybody. They got to be their own person.
That's right.
Because they're brutish, they can't get along with anybody. Anybody doing all right? I'm talking about even some family members. There are some families, and everybody's got the family member that, you know, Uncle What's-His-Face, that, you know, he just wants to cause troubles everywhere he goes. But why do you want to get in the fight with him when you're around him? Brutish people don't like anyone in control but themselves. Brutish people have problems between they and their children or they and their spouse. Because they have to be the one in charge. If it's not my way, we're not going to do this. brutish people push their own way or their own ideas. The word brutish actually means the word wasteful. Brutish people are the kind of people that don't take care of their stuff. They just destroy it. You know, everything is disposable. You know, and everybody's used a screwdriver for something that shouldn't be used, but some of you have a pile of them that you could fill a whole trash can full of. You say, why? Because, oh, I'll just go get another one. I got plenty of these. That's brutishness. My dad was in Florida for 4 months. I needed to borrow a tool. I said, Dad, I need to borrow something. He told me what I should borrow. I didn't even know what to ask for. He said, all right, you in my shop. Yeah, go over here, open this door, grab that. Then go to the other side of the shop, see this, yes. Go down this many drawers, pull that drawer open, see that one or the next one. First time, wow. He's 1,000 miles away. He knew exactly where it all was. By the way, it was all put back in the same spot. I memorized where it was. At least I hope I got it back in the right one. I'm about to find out here real soon, I'm sure. Now, wait a minute. Brutus people break things. They destroy things. They run it to the ground real fast. Teach people not to be brutish. Brutish people go through a lot of staff. Brutish bosses can't hold staff people. I was working with Brother Hiles, and I had worked for someone, and the person had a high turnover rate of church staff. And one day, there was a conversation. He said, well, Craig, there is a reason that person goes through staff like they do. Well, that makes sense. You know, make mental note here. Don't be like that.
Right.
Hello. Doesn't take very long to figure that one out. You say, why? Because they don't respect anybody. It's either my way or no way. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles, who pastored the world's largest church. He was one of the easiest men in the world to work for. Everybody thinks he would have been a hard person to work for. Uh-uh. He never asked me what time I got to the office. One time he did, because I was the only person who ever beat him to the office every day. They're the people that's always the authority's fault. Can I tell you who is brutish? I'm going to use some names here. Antifa is brutish.
Right.
Black Lives Matter is brutish.
Yes, sir.
The Now Gang, the you know, the women's rights people and everybody. The stinking news media is brutish.
Yes, right.
I got to hurry up here. Number three, last point. Well, next to last point, because my conclusion's a whole nother point, but I won't tell you that. Next, God calls brutishness foolishness.
Yes, sir.
Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 49. I'm going to walk you through just a few verses. I'll read the verses, make a couple comments, and go to the next one. Preach like Brother Roloff on this one. Read a verse and holler, and then go to the next verse. Amen. Psalm 49, look at verse number 10. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Brutish people won't listen about wise financing. Bible says that they leave their wealth to everybody when they die, other than who should have it. They're so in debt that when they die, their debtors take back everything and their family has nothing left. They have all they want, but when they die, everybody else has got to pay the price. Everybody doing okay? You say, why? Because they don't want somebody to help them control their finances. Can I tell you something? Budgets are not a bad thing.
No, sir.
I wish the United States government would figure that out.
Amen.
Amazing how many people get mad at the government, but we run our own finances the same way.
Uh-oh.
Psalm 92. Told you I was going to just hit it and holler and leave. Psalm 92, look at verse number 6. By the way, budgets aren't bad things. You better be glad we live by one here at the church. Psalm 92, verse number 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Did you ever notice foolishness and brutishness are always in the same verse? Brutish people don't think, they react. They're reactors. Brutish people have a hard time understanding, so they react very aggressively to keep from having to think. I used to pitch a lot. I had a pitching coach that taught me. He said, there's always a hothead on a team. And when you find that hothead, if you can get him turned against his own team, you got it. I'd strike a couple guys out, and you'd see the guy getting mad on the bench at everybody for striking out. Okay, there's my hothead. So you get up, and what do? You throw a nice big curveball out there, a nice slow curveball, juicy curveball, and watch him go. And then he starts getting mad. And then you come in tight with a high fastball and give him some chin music. And then he's really mad. Make him back out of that batter's box, and he's had a 70-80 mile an hour fastball in your junior high school. He's ducking out of the way. Well, I had a nasty curveball. I could start it on a right-handed batter. I could start that curveball on his left ear. And the catcher would dig it out of the ground on the other side of the plate off the ground. And as it's coming across the plate, the umpire would say strike because it's just dropping like a slow-pitch softball almost. Then he's laying on the ground over here, and the umpire says, strike. Now he's mad at the umpire and me and everybody else that struck out. Can I tell you, the next pitch, it didn't matter what you threw. He couldn't hit it. He was so mad he couldn't even see it.
Right.
Say why? He reacted. When you get a brutish person, they react. They don't think. They have pride issues that keep them from being wise, and they don't listen to wise people. Well, I know better than them anyway. Okay. They don't take time to plan. Well, I want this. Doesn't matter. Well, there's a lot of things I want in life, but I got to plan for it to get there.
Right.
Planning is more than saying, I want this, or I can do this. Yeah, go back about 10, 15 years in the bubble that crashed the market. Everybody, well, I can get this much credit, so I must be okay. Hello.
Uh-oh, what's
the problem? Psalm 94, turn over another page. I got so many points here. I could preach a whole sermon on each one of these points. Psalm 94, verse number 8. The Bible says, understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? Notice God puts brutish people in with the fools and says, when are you going to be wise? You don't understand. God says that they don't trust wisdom. They go against counsel. They hear preaching, but they'll apply it to everybody but themselves.
Right.
When the preacher stands up and I say, I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to you.
Right.
I'm preaching to me.
Thank you.
It applies to me as much as it applies to you. And we all ought to apply it personally. Go to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2. We were there. That's our text verse. Surely I'm more brutish than a man, have not the understanding of a man. Brutish people don't trust because they don't have understanding. They're intimidated by people that have better understanding than them, so they just don't ask a lot of questions around them. And if they don't ask questions, they don't have to seek counsel from. If they don't seek counsel from, they can continue on doing what they want to do.
Yep.
Brutish people push their way through to get what they want and don't see the big picture. You know, I see the big picture in most things in life. I really do. I see the big picture. let me show you what I mean. God has a will for every person's life here. Let's see here. Julian, God has a will for your life. That doesn't mean that in eternity past, God sat down and said, okay, in 2018, Julianne Moore is going to be old enough to graduate from high school. And I want her to do this, I want her to do this, I want her to do this, I want her to do this. And if she doesn't do those things, I'm going to whack her upside the head. That's the way most people view God's will. No. God's will is very simple. God's will is very, very emphatic. He wants you to trust Him and follow His words and follow His principles.
Right.
He'll guide you the rest of the way.
Yep.
Then He'll give you the right desires to have to stay in His will.
Praise the Lord.
Anybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Did you know just because you mess up one time doesn't mean you forfeit God's will for the rest of your life?
Right on.
Right.
Amen.
That you may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice it says and, not or. God's will is progressive. As life changes, it changes. Hey, I was an assistant pastor for 23 years. I was in God's will. Does that mean me pastoring now, I'm out of God's will? No. It was God's will that I went to Bible college. But it was also God's will that I went to Christian high school. Did God's will end when I graduated from Christian high school?
No,
it didn't end when I went to Bible college. It didn't end when I was in the ministry for 23 years as an assistant pastor, and it's not ended now.
That's right.
Amen.
But I've stayed in it so that He could guide me each and every step of the way, and it's not this real spooky, mysterious stuff. No, you stay in His word, you do what it says, you follow what He says, you're with the right people, you're with the right things, doing it His way, and listening to wise people. Guess what? God can show you a great life.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Brutish people don't want that, though. So, I have 5 minutes to give you the answer. So, how do we keep from being brutish? Very simple. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse number 35. Psalm 18, verse number 35. The Bible says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Gentleness is the opposite of brutishness. 2 Samuel 22:36. We won't take time to turn there, but it says the very same thing. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Gentleness makes us not become brutish. Brutish is that brute force that just stomp through it all. Gentleness is the opposite of brutishness. Now, let me say this. Gentleness is not wimpy.
Right.
Gentleness is not these pictures of Jesus that everybody wants you to think about. This long-haired hippie that wiggled when he walked wearing a robe. Who walked around soft-spoken saying, peace, peace, peace. All of your denominationalists had Palm Sunday today. Hosanna came in riding on the donkey and they put the palm fronds in front of him saying, Hosanna to our King. Do you know what Hosanna to our King did? Walked into the temple after he sat down when he saw the money changers, made a whip, went in and cast out the money changers, kicking over the tables, and 4 days later they crucified him.
Right.
He wasn't wiggling when he walked on that one.
That's right.
No.
He wasn't going peace, 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 and love. He said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. Yeah, get out of here. See, gentleness means chasten yourself. It means self-disciplined. It means humble or submissive, but it also means meek. Gentleness means you don't have to have somebody beat the snot out of you before you learn your lesson.
Right.
I thank God I had an older brother. I saw my older brother yesterday for about 20, 30 minutes. He drove my mom and dad's car back from Florida as they flew back. I got to see him last night after we unloaded the car and saw him for about 20 minutes. He's about not quite 4 years older than I. Say, why are you thankful for your brother? Because I watched him make a lot of mistakes I wasn't going to make. Or at least get caught for.
Right.
Now, mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother, amen? He was the trial run. He was the practice run. And every once in a while, he'd coerce me to do something because he knew what was going to happen. Man, did I get whooped a couple times. But Chris made me do it. You're the one that did it. You're getting whooped.
Yes, sir.
I have no idea if he ever got whooped for those things or not. Didn't matter. I know this. Didn't do them again. I didn't get whipped for the same thing twice, usually. Say why? Because I was smart enough not to go through that again. The torture afterwards was not worth what the fun was.
Right.
Promise you. Learn to character yourself. Discipline yourself. That's what gentleness is. Gentleness is... Okay, you big tough guys. Gentleness is when your wife or your daughter or your daughter-in-law has a brand new baby and you got to put it in your arms that first time. And it's, you know, and there's nothing uglier than a brand new baby. All red and wrinkly. You know, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds of nothing and but squawking and stuff in a diaper. But you got to handle it with care. You know, it's funny to watch some big 255-pound feller get a baby in his arms the first time. You know, it's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Good night. I love being in the ministry. I can go visit every lady that has a baby. My wife can hold that thing and ooh and ah. I'll ooh and ah with them. I can pray for the family, walk away, and I don't have to pay one penny for that kid.
Yes.
I don't have to change one diaper for that kid. I don't have to clean up barf from that kid. I don't have to listen to it cry at 2 o'clock in the morning. Bless God, I love it.
Amen.
Ain't no more coming to my house. Amen. Got done with that. Last one's done with college next year, and the nest is totally empty. Glory to God. Matter of fact, I'm selling the house, and they won't even know where the new one is. Brutishness and gentleness is, I taught my boys to shake hands. You look a man in the eye, you grab his hand, you squeeze it good and hard. That was good when my boys were small. But as my boys turned into teenagers and them boys got strong, something happened. Amen, Brother Mike? They started getting strong as a man. And it got to the point where I had to teach them, fellas, when you see somebody that's got gray hair, you don't grab their hand and put them on their knees, all right? It's not a hand-squeezing contest. My dad had arthritis in his hand. One of my boys, he just had a vice for a hand grip. He kept grabbing my dad for a couple weeks refused to shake that boy's hand. Say, why? Because it was hurting him. But he also taught my son gentleness. I had to teach him, back off. You know, you don't grab a lady's hand like this. Squeeze that thing. No, you don't do that to a lady. It's not to see if you can inflict pain and tears on everybody, all right? This isn't your brother. Now, we do that as dad and son. Okay, no problem. Squeeze that thing, you know. Teaching. But there comes a point in time where you got to be gentle with people. Now, if you got a tough man, grab his hand as hard as he grabs yours, go for it. And if it's a limp one, squeeze it harder.
Yeah. Amen.
But other than that, go for it. But be gentle. Gentleness goes a long way. Keeps you from being a brute.
Right.
Gentleness is not leading others or talking to others the way you lead yourself. We've got successful people in this room. We've got hard-working people in this room. It's real easy to get irritated with people that don't work hard.
Yes.
Amen.
It takes me about that long to get irritated at somebody that's lazy old rascal. It just gets under my skin. But can I tell you something? I can't lead everybody the way I lead me.
Right.
I was up at 4:30 on my way to getting on for the day. Do you think I got up at 4:30, shook my wife and said, "Woman, get out of bed. Come on. Time for you to get up." I don't wake up grumpy in the morning. I let her sleep. I like a happy house. You know, my wife is not supposed to work at a man's level. I married a woman, not a man. Thank God.
Yes, sir.
I'm not one of those people that doesn't know what I married. I know what I married.
Yes.
I know which bathroom to use.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? I'm not to lead my wife the way I lead me. I'll lead my wife gently. Now, if I make a mistake, you dummy, what'd you do that for? You think I'm going to say that to her? Uh-uh. Say why? I don't lead her that way. If she makes a mistake, I'll say, it's okay. It's my fault. I didn't lead you well. Let's not try that again. Let's do that a little different next time. Say, but she made a mistake. She knows it. Let's go forward. Let's fix it. When we were in Indiana, she called me one day. She was crying. In our house in Indiana, we had a gate that went across the driveway to the backyard, and our garage was behind that. Well, she backs up like most women, and she ended up taking the mirror right off the passenger side. She called me, and she was in tears. I mean, she said, I had a wreck. I said, okay, is everybody all right? Who's hurt? Nobody. I said, where are you? In the driveway. Oh, well, at least the car's close to home. I don't have to have it towed. You know, this is the thought process I'm going. I said, who'd you hit? She said, nobody. Okay, but you said you were in an accident. Well, I was backing up the driveway and I tore the mirror off. Well, that's not an accident. I said, don't worry about it. She said, well, you're mad. I said, I'm not mad. I said, you okay? Yeah. The kids okay? Yeah. I said, anybody else get hurt? No. I said, I'm fine. It's just plastic and metal. It'll all get fixed. Don't worry. She was almost upset that I didn't get upset with her. Just get mad and get it over with. That's what she said. I said, I'm not mad. I said, I'm thankful that's all it is. Can I tell you something? If I'd have done it, I'd have been mad at me. But not at her. Why should I get mad at her?
Right.
I didn't have the money to fix it. No lie. Cross my heart. I said, Lord, I'm going to drive a car with only one mirror. I did it for a long time. What's the difference? You know that 3 days later, I got up, walked out to my car, and there was a box with a brand new mirror sitting there for that car. I have no idea to this day where it came from. Had one of the mechanics at the church throw it on for me. Didn't cost me a penny. I got a brand new mirror out of the deal. She didn't break the other one off either. Oh, wait a minute. Gentleness is thinking in advance how someone will feel or respond when you say or do something. Gentleness thinks before they speak. How is this going to affect every person that hears this? When I do something, how is it going to affect them? When I make this decision, how is it going to affect everybody? I just sat in a board meeting with several of our men, and I had an idea that I presented to them. You say, why? Because I wanted to see how it's going to affect every aspect of our church. I'm not totally sold I was going to do it, but I wanted to see how that reaction was going to take with a group of people, not just myself. I personally thought it was a good idea, but I wanted to see how it's going to affect. I still haven't decided when I'm doing it or if I'm doing it, but I got a little bit more input by the men that I asked. You say, why? Because I've got to see how it's going to affect a whole group of people. It's not just affecting because I think it's a great idea. Did you know that a child is not an adult?
That's right.
Stand up here, Asa. How old are you? 8? Good. Come on over here. He's big for 8. Brother Scott, stand up for a second. He's big for his age, too. Did you know I don't expect as much out of him as I do him?
But I do.
Wait a minute. Why do we want him to perform at that level? Someday I want him to perform at that level when you're at that level. Hopefully you're better looking than that, too. You can both have a seat.
Don't worry.
It won't take much. Did you know that we sometimes look at a child and forget they're a child? They don't know what you know. You know, I gotta sometimes think there's an 8-year-old listening to me preach. I don't expect him to know what a 50-year-old man that's been in ministry 30 years knows.
Right.
I gotta be careful. I can get impatient. Not me. I'm like my dad. I have all my patience. I haven't used any. Gentleness is protecting someone or something from harm, pain, hurt, or destruction. By the way, that's from you hurting them or destroying them too.
Yes.
It plays gentle. Now, boys need played with hard. I get that. Boys are like rubber balls. You got to wind them up and throw them against the wall a few times a day just to make sure they still bounce.
Right.
All right? I get that. But not to the point where you get them angry. When people start getting angry, time to stop. If you can't play a game without somebody getting angry, don't play the game. All right? You work on teaching your kids not to destroy everything they have. Teach them not to be brutish. Teach them to take care of their toys. Take care of their clothes.
Right.
Take care of their mama and their sister. Take care of their family. You know, you can say what you want, and I'm not gonna get upset with anybody, but I don't let my wife do what I consider man's work, then let my daughter do it. My wife has never pushed a lawnmower in her whole life. She wouldn't know how to start the thing if she had to. It would be 1-800-MEL-BUSH. Dad, how do I do this? I know. My wife doesn't shovel snow. My daughter didn't shovel snow. I figured that was my job. Let me have the aches and pains, not her.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way I was brought up.
Amen.
I'll protect them.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying it's sinful if a woman goes out and does that. And I realize there are single ladies that have to do that. And I get that. But when I grew up, we went in the neighborhood and took care of all the widows. Made sure their driveways got shoveled and sidewalks. Everybody doing all right? Just like Malachi did for Fred and Wally the other day. I was proud of him. Gentleness isn't you play while your family works. No, you work and then you play. Well, I went to work all day. Yeah. But you also have a house to work at, too. Gentleness is able to talk and not create tension or get upset on touchy issues. Gentleness means my wife can approach me about any topic and we're going to talk and not get uncivil with each other. We're not going to scream and holler. We decided before we got married, we weren't going to scream and holler at each other. We've been married not quite 30 years. June 24th will be 30 years. You know, we've never raised our voices at each other. No, it'll be 29 years. Oops.
Close enough.
It's been an eternity for her. In almost 29 years, we have never raised our voices to each other. Now, that could change tonight, I'm sure. But we just decided we weren't going to scream and holler at each other. If it wasn't the right time to talk about it, let's schedule it. Let's talk about it when we're not going to get tense. If we notice what the other's getting, how about we talk about this later? Okay. Well, I got to get through this now. I got to get... Says who? Quit being brutish. Are you doing all right? I'm done. We need to fight sin hard. I'm for it. But I hope that we're known as a sin-fighting church, but that we're known as a loving church. We're a hospital, not a museum. Place where people come get help, not where... By the way, I'm not changing what sin is. I'll preach hard against sin all day long, but we're going to love the sinners.
Good.
We're going to win them to Christ and get them in church. You say, well, they're a little rough around the edges. Good, so are you.
Yep.
Let's take that old drunk sitting at the table, Brother Mike, that has a can of beer, and we win them to Christ, and end up being Mike Schenenberger.
Amen.
Let's take the long-haired hippie rock and roller who doesn't have any hair anymore, taking drugs, clean him up with the gospel, and let God change his life, and he becomes a rich Stoltz.
Amen. Amen.
Let's love the sinner, let's keep hating the sin.
Right.
Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes.
And by the way, it's not everybody's not going to change like you change.
Yep. It's true.
Because nobody else is you.
Yeah.
Take a little kid like Wyatt or like Asa, who grows up in church. I hate to tell you something. They don't have a big change to make because they weren't out in the world living like the devil.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
They grew up like I did. And when they sing the song, "There's a great change since I've been born again," they're wondering, "I wonder what I changed." You know, I got saved when I was 4.5 years old. I think the worst thing I ever did was pulled some girl's hair in the nursery or something, you know? It doesn't mean that you have to have this great, huge life change to get saved.
Yes, sir.
I thank God I didn't grow up like you did. I thank God I didn't grow up like you did. I thank God I didn't grow up and look like you. Can I tell you something? I thank God I grew up in church.
Amen.
I got saved at an early age in life, got baptized, started serving God, started preaching, got called to preach at 13 and preached the next day. I've been preaching for 37, almost 38 years. I thank God for that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad I didn't go out into the world. It took more grace to keep me clean than it did to clean some of you up that were in it. I had the same temptations available, but didn't yield to them. That takes more grace.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You're right.
I'm glad I can look at our kids and say, "Don't do that. Do what I did."
Amen. That's good.
I have no problem with that.
I'll tell them the same thing.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Wait a minute. But I thank God for the man that knocked on my daddy's door and won my daddy to Christ back in 1960. None of your business. Niels, is it Sabaka? Is that his name? Mel Sabaka. Thank God he knocked on my daddy's door after either before or just after my brother was born and said, "Mel, you need to think about your eternity or you're going to heaven," and won my daddy to Christ. I believe in soul winning.
Amen.
Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes, sir.
It's not about us. Let's not be brutish. Let's not be mean and rough. Be rough about sin? Yeah, I'm not afraid of that. Make sin exceedingly sinful. But let's love people while we do it. Let's not be brutish. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Who'd say, "Preacher, if I die tonight, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. I've trusted Christ." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon tonight, something I personally needed." Would you raise your hand?